This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList, a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps professionals find fulfilling careers. I believe that lifelong learning is the key to a successful career. And to get a better job, you need to learn the job hunting skills that will help you find the role of your dreams. That's why we're here today. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I interview a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find the work you want. This week, I'm talking to Lynn Marie Morsky about how to overcome your fears about quitting your job. But before we get started, thank you to the many listeners who responded to our recent survey. Your thoughts and suggestions were so helpful, and in a future episode, I'll share key highlights from what you told us. In the meantime, congratulations to Portland listener Jean M., as well as Rochelle H. and Sophia F. on winning our drawing for three $50 Amazon gift cards. Now, let's get back to the show. Lynn Marie Morsky is an expert in quitting. She's quit schools, jobs, and careers. She says quitting is a useful tool to carve out the life you want. In our conversation today, Lynn Marie and I talk about the benefits of quitting, and we look at what stops people from doing so. Quitting a job you no longer like or want, says Lynn Marie, can be good for your career, your health, and your relationships. The key is to quit in a thoughtful, strategic way. And she makes a strong distinction between quitting and giving up. So why would you stay in a job you might hate? You may worry about what others think, or you could care about the time you've invested in a position. Lynn Marie and I talk about how to address these and other concerns. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the MaxList Studio as I interview Lynn Marie Morsky about how to overcome your fears about quitting your job. Lynn Marie Morsky is a physician, attorney, and speaker. She's also a lifelong quitter. Lynn Marie is on a mission to help people carve out a successful life through strategic quitting, and she's the author of the new book, Quitting by Design. She joins us today from San Diego, California. Lynn Marie, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a topic that is one I'm really looking forward to because, you know, we talk about every week about how to help people find jobs, but this is also about bringing a job to a close. And a lot of people, when they think about quitting a position, they've got a lot of fear. Let's start, Lynn Marie, by talking about where does that fear come from?
Much of it comes from fear of the unknown, as in, will this new job that I'm picturing in my head that I'm quitting the old job for be better? And will I be able to make it financially feasible or beneficial compared to the job I'm in now? Will I survive if they're thinking about quitting a job where they don't have another one lined up? You know, will I be on the street? Will I be able to make ends meet? Will I find another job? A lot of those things are the fears that come up. And then a lot of them are less logistical and they're more societal because people often fear what others will think of them quitting their job, especially if it's, you know, a very secure job or maybe a prestigious job. And there may be familial or perceived societal pressures to stay in that job because it is good or secure. And then there may also be the fears that they've wasted time or money in that job if they leave it. Those are some of the big categories.
So I want to explore each of those categories in turn. A couple of more specific questions that are often on the minds of our listeners thinking about their careers. What about concerns about job hunting? Do you find when you work with people who are considering a job change that they fret that employers are going to worry if they're in a job for less than 2 years, for example?
I have seen that, and I've been in that position myself. I've had that the LinkedIn fear of, what if it says I'm in a job for less than said amount of time? And I can understand where a prospective employer may not want to look at your LinkedIn and see like, okay, 8 months, 8 months, 8 months. But it also depends on who you want to work for. If somebody has a really old school mindset, and to them, the quantity of years is more important than maybe the quality of those years, then that's one thing. But I think it's getting more into the newer mindset where people do move and change jobs a lot. And it's not this thing where it's a badge of honor to be staying at your bank job for 40 years so you can get the watch. And I think it's less of a stigma. Now, I'm not a boss. I do not hire anybody. So this is literally an N of one of my perception. But I think that people are realizing that there's no reason to stay in something a long time if, first, maybe it's not working for you, or second, maybe you completely got what you wanted to out of it, and perhaps that employer got what they wanted to out of you, and who's to say that, like, okay, just sitting around twiddling your thumbs for another 3 months so that it says you've been there a year is somehow a better choice than moving on when everybody's, let's say, you know, desires have been fulfilled.
Any advice about how to talk about a change like that? If you leave, say, at 6, 8, 9 months and you're interviewing and someone says, well, I see you've only been at your position for this short period of time.
Absolutely. I would say be honest, but as within all types of quitting, it's best to go with the, it was me and not them. Like the, it's not you, it's me. When you're talking about a former position, try not to badmouth anybody there as to why you left that, but make it more about your own personal journey and your personal development. Okay, I was looking for this in a job. I went there. I was able to accomplish this and this. And then the work maybe headed in a different direction than I had expected. And I felt compelled to go out and try this new path. Spin it in the most positive way possible and make it more about your dreams and your aspirations than like, oh, I didn't like my boss or this didn't work out with this coworker or whatever it is. Because I think bosses want to see people who are interested in developing themselves as well as the company. And that's the important thing to focus on is like, okay, I wanted to find the right fit. Here I am at your interview because I feel as though you are a better fit for who I have become in the past year. You know, there lots of things can change in a year that change what you're looking for in a job. And it just takes spinning that in the right way. And I don't say spin like it's not true. I'm just focusing on the positive and the growth aspects as opposed to maybe any negative aspects of why you've left.
And I want to bring up an example. It doesn't happen very often, but certainly as a hiring manager, occasionally in my career, I've run across this. And what would you say to the person who starts a job, it's week 2, 3, 4, and they realize they've made a terrible mistake and they're ready to leave? How do you recommend somebody do that and how should they talk about it afterwards?
Well, with any job and almost anything in life, you don't know what it's going to be like until you try it, right? You can visualize or fantasize about what it's going to be like in any job, but you do not know until you go in and you give it a whirl. And if you go in and you try it and you know within the first few weeks, it is absolutely not for you. And by the way, I have been in that position. I mean, this is back in, I think, post-college, but I worked at Eddie Bauer for like 3.5 minutes. I think it was just clearly not for me. This is while I was like doing pre-med studies. But there's no reason at that point that, I mean, I think that's where it's the least offensive thing to do is just to go and say, look, I just have realized this is not for me, because it's not like, okay, you put 6 months in and then you finally realize it isn't for you. No, if something's wrong for you, that wrong, you know, so out of alignment that you realize immediately, it's best for everybody involved to get out immediately, because who are you doing a favor to if you're staying in a job that you feel that uncomfortable in? You know, if I had stayed miserable at Eddie Bauer for 6 months, I'm not going to be the most productive or happy employee. You know, we've seen the disgruntled employees. That's because they don't want to be there. And I would say, just tell whomever, tell your current boss and tell your future interviewers, I thought it was going to be this. I soon realized this was the actual situation and A, B, and C didn't work with what my current goals and passions are or my comfort level. You know, just be honest, because at the end of the day, like if any of those things that didn't work out about the job you're leaving are present in the new job, then the new hiring manager at that point can tell you, oh, that part didn't work for you. Well, you should know that part is still going to be present here. So then everybody can be upfront, and then you're not making another possibly bad decision. You have more information when you're going to the new job.
I love the specificity of that advice, Lynn Marie. And Let's go back to where we started, which was about fear. And one of the barriers that you brought up to quitting is the fear that people have about what others might think about them leaving. What would you say to somebody who's worried, not just about what a future employer might think, but peers and colleagues and friends, if they quit a position?
Yes, there are two things I'd say. And the first is that whomever is judging your quit, which is what we're worried about. We're worried about judgment, right? Whoever's judging your quit has never been you for one second. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what your current desires are. I mean, they may know you well. They may be a close friend, but they've not walked in your shoes. And so they are judging your quit through their own lens. And so for a lot of people in my generation, I'm 41, so I'm kind of on the cusp here, but a lot, you know, my parents' generation, you did not move jobs. You got one job, it was the thing you did for life. And so if somebody in that generation is looking at somebody from my generation or the millennials saying, whoa, you want to leave this good job after a year and a half? Well, they're looking at it through a totally different lens from somebody who's brought up with this more mobile career movement. And so that you have to realize that they've never been you and they're not the one who has to continue to be in that situation. So what they may think about you quitting, say like, let's say a government job, something that sounds really secure. Okay, you're going to quit this government job because it definitely isn't working for you. And your parents or whoever else is like, but why? It's so secure. Their judgment, it may impact you for like the minute that they're talking to you about it or whenever they call or how often, but you're the one who has to go to that job 40 hours a week. And so how do those two weigh out? Like one weighs a lot heavier. The thing that you actually have to experience weighs so much heavier than what somebody else may think. Like we're imagining the worst here, but they may be inspired by the fact that you have the courage to leave that job. And so that's the first thing I say is like your experience of being in that job is so much more important and what you have to consider compared to other people's possible thoughts that will last for just a few minutes that they're talking to you. And that rolls into the second thing is that most people aren't thinking about your quit for very long at all, unless it is your immediate family who you live under the same roof with. I mean, how often do I think about some quit that I see a friend have on Facebook? Like the 2 seconds that I'm scrolling through it and then I go back about my own business. And so does everybody else. All these people that you think are judging your quit are going to think about it for like 2 seconds and then they're going to go back to their own lives and worrying in their own heads if other people are judging them. Like that's just how the world works. So please try to diminish that fear using, you know, either of those realizations that people are not thinking about you that much probably. And secondly, what they do or may think should not outweigh what you have to feel all week long.
Well, here's another fear that you touched on at the start of our conversation. It's the money and time people have invested in a job. And I'm thinking in particular, people think, well, I've been at this company or this nonprofit for 5, 7, 10 years. And if I stay, I'll get this benefit or I'll be up for this promotion or I'll qualify for this pension. What do you say to people who feel they've invested so much, there's no turning back, they can't walk away?
I would say that the pension is the one situation where the impetus to stay may be a little bit stronger. And I'll put that as a side note for a second. Okay, just imagine we're not talking a pension. Imagine we're talking, like you said, more about a promotion. And say you're at a law firm and you've put 5 years into being at this law firm, which is not an easy job, more than 40 hours a week, definitely. And you're trying to make partner, but those 5 years have been miserable. Well, when you make partner, is it suddenly going to be like, oh, hearts and flowers, like none of that work you had to do before is there, none of the stress? Well, likely that's not the case. Maybe you get an additional, legal secretary or a paralegal or something, but it's still the same work. And if you were in perhaps a company culture you didn't like, or maybe you had a boss or coworkers you didn't like, or maybe the work you didn't like, how is getting promoted going to make any of those things go away or better? It's not. It's just going to make it more complicated for you to leave later. You know, you'll get a little more money, but if you're still unhappy, that extra money is not going to buy your happiness. And for people like myself who have spent, I've spent $250,000 on medical school. and 10 years to go from where I was initially as a multimedia designer to eventually a sports med doctor, that's a huge concern that a lot of people have. Like, wow, I have dedicated so much time or money into this thing. But I would see it more as you invested that much time and money into your happiness, right? Like, if you went into law and you went into this law firm, the goal was probably twofold, to make a good salary and to be happy. Generally, people don't try to go into things thinking this career will make me miserable, right? And if the goal is to be happy and you've dedicated or invested all this time and money into it, but you're not happy, well, see that as an investment and then move on. Like, okay, I invested this much in trying to find happiness. I didn't find it here. It is on me to like now continue to try to find where it will be because I have invested this much.
Okay. Well, let's pause right there, Lynn Marie, because I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to continue this conversation, particularly, I know you have a point to make about pensions as a factor that you might want to consider before quitting a job. So we'll be back in a moment. And we're talking today with Lynn Marie Morsky. She's the author of the new book, Quitting by Design, and she's joining us today from San Diego, California. We all know how important it is to have goals when you look for work. And when you have goals, it saves you time and effort too. When you stop applying for every vacancy and focus on what you really want, you make your job search shorter and easier. That's an approach listener Allison Majora encourages all job seekers to follow. Earlier this year, Allison shared on the MaxList website how she found her dream job at the Northwest Energy Efficiency Alliance. Allison says a big factor in her success was knowing the kind of work she wanted. And then she put her time and her energy into those opportunities. Don't expect to get a job you can love, Allison says, by sending your resume everywhere. But what do you do if you're struggling with your own job search goals? I've got a new resource that can help. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. And you can get your free copy today. Go to maxlist.org/focus. It's a step-by-step guide, and it'll help you figure out what you want in your career and in your next job. To get Finding Focus in Your Job Search today, go to maxlist.org/focus. Stop applying all over town. Instead, identify the job you want and the organizations that offer it. Go to maxlist.org/focus. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. Our guest this week is Lynn Marie Morsky. She's the author of the new book, Quitting by Design, and she joins us today from San Diego. Now, Lynn Marie, before the break, we were talking about this week's topic, how to overcome your fears about quitting your job, and you were making the point about someone at a law firm and thinking about your long-term happiness. And what prompted that was one of the fears that people have when they invest a lot of time with a particular employer, they may feel that there's no turning back. And one of the points that people often consider is our pensions. And you said you had some additional thoughts on that you wanted to share.
Yeah, the pension is the one situation where I wouldn't say, okay, just leave. Because if the sunk cost fallacy, which is what describes what we were talking about before, where like, oh, I've spent so much time and money into this, at this law firm or into this medical career, that means I should stay and spend more time and money into it. And it's a fallacy because that if you look at it, you're like, logistically or logically, that doesn't actually make any sense. But for pension purposes, if there's a monetary advantage to you staying, then that's an entirely different situation. And I would want to work one-on-one with or speak one-on-one with anybody who was in that situation. Because at that point, is it like, okay, I don't love my job, but I only have to do it 4 more years and I get my pension? Okay, maybe not terrible. But is it, I need 8 more years to get my pension and the job is killing me. I have anxiety. I have insomnia, acid reflux. I'm irritable all day long. Those are the factors you have to weigh. Like, how out of alignment is your job and how much longer until your pension?
Let's talk also about the stigma that some people may feel that comes with quitting. And I know you make a distinction between quitting and giving up. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. the type of quitting that I advocate is strategic quitting. And I think the quitting that gets the bad name is more of giving up. Like, okay, I'm trying to run a mile, three quarters of the way. I'm just like kind of exhausted. I'm going to just start walking. That sounds to me more like giving up. The quitting that's strategic is where you've realized that something is out of alignment. It may be causing physical symptoms or mental discontent of some sort. Then you've analyzed, okay, I'm feeling these symptoms or having this like out of alignment feeling. What exactly is causing it? Then you dial down, okay, I'm just going to quit that one little part of what's causing it. Like, it may just be that your commute is driving you crazy and not the whole job. So you find a way to quit the commute. Or if it is the whole job, then you strategically go through, okay, how do I overcome my fears and how do I prepare my logistics and how do I make a quit in the most beneficial way possible? That is a strategic quit. Giving up is like the old school, you know, office space where the guy just burns down the place and like you just have had it. You walk out in the middle of the day on your boss or you leave a relationship in a fiery argument or like with anything else, why, like I mentioned before, the difference between quitting and giving up in athletic endeavors is, are you quitting a run that, okay, I'm just feeling like a little bit lazy? Or, you know, are you like realizing that, oh, my foot is no longer like, now it's numb and I'm feeling extreme pain and this is, this, you know, clearly doing more harm than good if I continue? That's a strategic quit. And that's what you have to look is, are you just kind of like not feeling it? Are you feeling a little bit lazy or things have gotten just a little bit tough? Or have you realized systematically, like, this is out of alignment with my passion and purpose and my higher goal and my best self and my health, and then then left something? And that's the kind of quitting I'm talking about.
You mentioned health earlier and how particularly a job can have such negative consequences on somebody's health. What other signals should people pay attention to when they're considering making a quit?
I would talk about, are you saying symptoms besides health or specific health-related symptoms?
In addition to health. And if you want to talk about health symptoms as well that you haven't touched on, that would be terrific too.
I'd say most of them fall under physical or mental health. And mental health is very broad here. Like I was mentioning before, it may just be this feeling of discontent. Or I was in a startup at some point, and when the email would go off on my phone that was just for the startup, that notification sound, all of a sudden my stomach would sink. And, you know, it's not like I had massive acid reflux or couldn't sleep at night, but that little bit of, okay, now I have a little feeling in the pit of my stomach and I'm feeling a bit anxious. Where did that come from? Oh, it came from the fact that now I hear that sound and I've got to deal with the startup. And then it made me realize, wow, dealing with the startup is never my favorite thing to do. And then I dialed backwards. I was like, oh, and actually I'm not sleeping great. Those are, you know, anxiety, insomnia, migraines, chronic pain, intestinal issues like acid reflux or irritable bowel symptoms. A lot of those start from stress. High blood pressure, all the things that, you know, the cardiac issues, many of them start from stress. And so they may start off as just this kind of pit in your stomach feeling, but that's your body whispering to you. And you can listen to it while it's whispering. Or if you don't, it might start shouting with physical symptoms and actual diseases and conditions.
Other signals besides health factors that people should pay attention to, perhaps in relationships or elsewhere?
Oh, well, yeah. I lump everything so much under health that I assume that, like, okay, if you're fighting in a relationship, that's because you're having mental discontent. But yes, if you are coming home and, well, I think that's the thing. Like, if you're in a relationship and you're irritable with that person all the time, it's a sign either of that relationship isn't going right, or maybe the job that you're coming from when you're coming home to that person isn't going right. And that's why you have to look not at, okay, I'm irritable with this relationship. You have to look at yourself and take the symptom into yourself. Okay, the symptom is irritability. Now, what's the cause? Is it the job? Is it the relationship? And that's why, to me, a lot of things, they're just like, how do you feel in a situation? Like, I'm sure there are signs that people say, like, oh, if you suddenly have less money or suddenly your friends walk away from you, those are signs to look at. Yes, but those probably began with a mindset or an attitude that you have within yourself. Like, maybe your friends all walked away because your job makes you so irritable they don't want to hang out with you anymore. Like, I think most things start within ourselves. They may look external at some point, but there's some internal root cause.
Well, Lynn-Marie, we've talked about the why people should consider quitting and some of the benefits and the fears they might overcome. I'm curious, do you have some famous quitters that inspire you or that you share as examples with the clients you work with?
Absolutely. Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, I believe they all quit. At least two of those had quit Harvard. They all quit college at some point. And we know they're winners. Like, to say that quitters never win is totally false. Just look at those three. Or you could look, if you're more into sports, you can look at Michael Jordan. He quit and unquit so many times and is a massive champion. Like, it's even funny because he has some like never quit quote out there. I'm like, you're such a quitter. It's like, just whether or not you realize, because in sports, you can call it retiring and then you can come back for it. And it wasn't a retirement. It was clearly just a quit that you can unquit from. Like, quits don't have to be permanent. Say you're in a job. If you quit the right way, because you say to your boss, like, I'm looking to do this side hustle, or this city isn't working for me right now because my wife isn't happy here. And then later you have to come back because the side hustle didn't work out. As long as you told your boss the reasons weren't, hey, it's because I don't like this job and I don't like you or I don't like the team, then it's much more likely that that avenue will be open for you in the future.
Okay. Well, tell us what's next for you, Lynn-Marie.
I recently put out a book. It's called Quitting by Design, and it's available on Amazon and all the other outlets. And I have a podcast called Quit Happens that you can find on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher. And coming in January, I will have a course that it's online, but I will be participating at some point. There'll be some group calls, and I think it will be called Making Quit Happen in 2019. So I'm really excited about being able to bring the strategic quitting process to more people.
Well, we'll be sure to include links in the show notes to both your book and your course. And I know people can learn more about you and your work by visiting your website, which is quittingbydesign.com. Well, Lynn-Marie, thanks for being on the show this week.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Lynn-Marie. There were a number of takeaways for me. One that stood out was the image of a ping on a cell phone going off when she was telling her story about her experience working at a startup and the physical reaction she had when she heard that sound and how that communicated to her that that position was causing stress and other unpleasant health effects. And it was a clear signal that it was perhaps time to consider making a quit. I also liked her advice at the start of the conversation about how to talk about a quit, whether it's been just a few weeks or perhaps 8 or 10 months. But I think she's just spot on in her point about having a story and being transparent and honest about the reasons for why you took the action you did. Because that's going to address a concern that's going to be in the minds of an employer. And they may not even bring it up. So you need to get your story out there and make it part of the conversation. Above all, I think to her last point about having that story, it comes back to the importance of having focus when you're doing a job search and being clear about what you want. And you need to know that whether you're making a quit or you're looking for your next position. And it's something that people struggle with a lot. We've got a resource that can help. It's called Finding Focus in your Job Search. And you can download it today. It contains actionable tips about how you can set job search goals and get clear about what your next position should be. Go to maxlist.org/focus. Again, that's maxlist.org/focus. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Ruth Winden of Careers Enhanced. She's a career coach for professionals over 50. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.